Good evening, dear ones, and welcome. Just seeing your faces there for a moment was a real blessing for me, for all of us. Let us begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, indwelling, the Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So we are inviting in the light. We're approaching the season of light. The light that is always with us and within us as a sensual being, a living being. And further, this light, as we are learning so clearly, is no mere metaphor. We are abiding in a living body with accesses to influences streaming through levels to reach us, levels from the highest realms, influences from all the teachers in our lineage. This evening, again, in our season of remembrance and gratitude, we again give thanks to the conscious circle of humanity, the communion of saints, to all those who have gone before, opened the door, and showed us the way. And indeed, in addition to their teaching, by their very being, they have released energies, if you will, a vast energetic presence into the world. And we are the fortunate beneficiaries of that influence. So we have much gratitude, and much gratitude for Dr. Christine O'Brien for her gracious presence last week, for her teaching, for her being. The recording from last week, along with her slides and the email, of course, is posted in the Journey School archives in case you would like to revisit it. So tonight, this recognition is for someone who perhaps many of us do not know. Perhaps there's only a few of us who did know him, but we loved him and learned much from him. And he is spoken of in Cynthia Bourgeau's book, which is our community reading, and that is Joseph Boyle, who was the abbot of St. Benedict's Monastery, where Father Thomas Keating resided, and was in fact Father Thomas's spiritual director as well. He died on October 21st, 2018, just 4 days before Thomas, Father Thomas. And I like to repeat that Carl Orrico said that Father Thomas always liked for someone to go before him whenever he went to a new place. And therefore, Joseph had to die first in order to precede him into the next realm. So may they, both these beings of light, be held in our hearts and in our memory. The following is a little excerpt. A filmmaker interviewed him, just kind of as a side, if you will, a Belgian filmmaker came to St. Benedict's Monastery at the end of 2016 to interview Father Thomas. And she also just happened to interview and spend some time with Joseph. And these are her words. How did it happen? How was his life transformed? As a boy doing a visit to his brother in a monastery, Joseph had been impressed with the rows of monks bowing in silence, and he decided to become one himself. As we filmed him doing his favorite job, driving a bulldozer on the farm and enjoying tremendously a deep sense of connection with the transcendent, it could be felt When I insisted on a concrete answer to my question of how a life could be transformed, he replied in the most modest yet authentic way possible, "I try to be as selfless as I can be, and it's all very simple. But that's how God is for me, and that's what I want to be. A place where God can dwell and his love can be expressed through me. I know God's love for me, and I trust in his mercy." Truly, if there was a person that embodied and radiated the love of the presence of God, the living presence, it was Joseph Boyle. And he is a perfect exemplar, particularly for this week and this week's topic. May it be so for us. So tonight, in self-remembering and remembering our divine human connection, we come together in our full humanity, our past and our present, imbued with the gracious gift of God for the gift of life. And we prepare ourselves, if you will, to gather our being once again against the broad, wide, lovely canopy of the work. And in stillness of being, inner tranquility, we create a sacred receptacle of higher influences, finer energies, in order to evoke conscious perception. And we do this by deep listening, by removing distractions, perhaps lighting a candle and removing our shoes. So with back upright and heart open, mind in directed attention, yet relaxed, open, we breathe. Slowly we breathe deeply. All every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything that is hurt, everything that seems dark, confused, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, diseased, unforgiving, and unforgivable, resistant, apathetic, everything. Everything in the whole pain body of creation, all affirming, all denying, and we carry it, hold it as offering. We lift it and ask that it all be transubstantiated in our being, as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved. And we do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over the complexities of the day, the plans for tomorrow, the anxieties and small fears of my heart. I yield to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so we enter into the prayer of Lectio Divina. And our passage will be read 3 times with a brief silent pause between each reading. We take it in as food. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. If you feel the extraordinariness of your own existence, if you feel the miracle of your body, of your consciousness, of the world that surrounds you, if you begin to wonder who you are, then you are in the state necessary for self-remembering. You know, and other people know, that somehow the divine is acting in and through you, inspiring your actions and loving them through you. This is the atmosphere in which all of us can grow and flourish and become fully human, fully alive, fully as we were created to be. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. If you feel the extraordinariness of your own existence, if you feel the miracle of your body, of your consciousness, of the world that surrounds you, if you begin to wonder who you are, then you are in the state necessary for self-remembering. You know, and other people know, that somehow the divine is acting in and through you, inspiring your actions and loving them through you. This is the atmosphere in which all of us can grow and flourish and become fully human, fully alive, fully as we were created to be. I am not alone, for the Father is with me. If you feel the extraordinariness of your own existence, if you feel the miracle of your body, of your consciousness, of the world that surrounds you, if you begin to wonder who you are, then you are in the state necessary for self-remembering. You know, and other people know, that somehow the divine is acting in and through you, inspiring your actions and loving them through you. This is the atmosphere in which all of us can grow and flourish and become fully human, fully alive, fully as we were created to be. And so it is. So the Spirit has given us a word, and you are invited to share what you received with all of us and give us your gift. What came to meet you? Either in the image, the words, or just in the silent recesses of your heart. Don.
Good evening, Marianne.
Good evening, Don.
If you feel the repetition of that phrase,
yes,
opened me to the felt experience of what feeling means or can mean when I'm self-remembering. And I was reminded that in those moments, in those experiences, I wouldn't say that I was feeling, but I was being felt. Mm-hmm. And I was in the middle of what was being felt and what was doing the feeling. And hearing that reminded me of that and took me back there. And I wish to remember that. Mm-hmm.
May it be so. Thank you, Don. Jody.
That's okay, don't worry.
Sure.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. The first thing that came to me was feeling the miracle of my body. And the miracle part to me was how when I'm externally considering and I'm letting God work through me, how calm I can feel in a situation that I normally would not feel calm, and how God just takes that place in me and gives me the words to say and the right actions to take. And I just had it happen not long ago, actually this afternoon, and that's why I had the courage to say something, because it just happened. And I was dealing with a loved one, and just some real negative interactions, and I just dealt with it. It's like God dealt with it. It wasn't me. It was God dealing with it through me. And I got a phone call from that person. And it was just amazing. It was that person saying that they got home and they thought about their negativity and they wondered where it was coming from. And it was just a beautiful conversation. And I know it wasn't me. It was God just working through me. And I think it came from so much external considering as I was talking to that person and trying to express what I was feeling from them, but in such a loving way with just unconditional love. And I just am so appreciative for the tools I'm learning, and I can feel such growth. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody. Thank you for that affirmation. Michael.
The reading for me was about a shift from content to context. The first time through, you know, when you read, "Can I feel the miracle of your body?" I had this reaction, which was, when I think of my body nowadays, I'm not thinking about miracle. I'm thinking about other things that are less than miraculous, it seems. When I think of the world that surrounds me, a lot of times it's not the miraculous part of the world. It's something else that is drawing my attention and generating some emotion. But then on the second reading, something else was coming through, and that is that, you know, if I'm looking at content, then I get these reactions. You know, it's the things that I don't like about myself, my body, the world, my environment, you name it. But with the shift to context, everything changes. Everything changes. And what a marvel that you or I even exist and can communicate, and or that this blue marble that's floating around in space even exists for this period of time, and that we get to be the vessels through which consciousness is aware of it.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you for that framing, Michael. Thank you. Camille.
Thank you. My take, or what came to me very forcefully, was the word fully. And in some ways, this is related to what Michael was saying about context, because the reading had expressed that the divine is acting in us and is creating the atmosphere in which we grow and flourish and become fully human and fully alive and fully as we were created to be. I find that so exciting and marvelous. And I want that. I want that fullness. I want to be fully alive. So that really stood out for me.
Amen. Thank you, Camille. And Beth, we'll take you as our last sharing for this period. Thank you.
What resonated with me was the word extraordinariness, with juxtaposed with a very ordinary table setting, with a big pot, with a towels around it, and just how ordinary. I see that two or three times every day. And so maybe the next time I see it, it will trigger me to self-remember.
May it be so for all of us. Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Well, maybe our two guests this evening will joyfully tell us how to maintain that perspective throughout the day. So I am delighted and pleased to welcome Bev McCune and Pamela Begeman, who will collaboratively lead us on the journey of self-remembering into the realities and ordinariness and the possibilities of this divine, human, mysterious life. So just a word tonight too about our closing is that we will end our time this evening with 9 minutes of special music. So I invite you to remain for this music. It will come after our night prayers. And take it in, take the music in as meditation, as affirmation, and perhaps join in the chanting. It is very simple, life-giving, joyous, affirming, as Bev and Pamela are. So I am delighted to welcome you this evening. Thank you.
Thanks, Marianne. First, we're going to travel back to last week. The self-remembering memories and the body and trauma. So really got into the content of the body. And yet what we just heard in the reading, the miracle of the body really comes to life even in that. How the body can hold this gift of the memories of trauma in order that we have the opportunity at a later time to heal them. So it truly is a miracle. So there was a lot in what Dr. Christine shared last week. And our homework, I'm going to share the screen here. We had the opportunity or the invitation to read the chapter in the De Salzman book, and then also to practice self-remembering as you light a candle in the morning or evening, to journal or share with your work partner any awareness of trauma that arises in your self-observation without needing to share the details. And then the beautiful practice of candle lighting and using that. So I welcome any sharing on what Dr. O'Brien shared, your take. We had quite a lively conversation in our journey group. Probably others did too, but please do feel free to share here, because there was a lot in that, and I'd be really interested in hearing what you got from it. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you. I had something else on my screen there for a second. Thank you so much. Thank you, Marianne, for inviting Dr. O'Brien last week. This has been, for me, one of the most remarkable weeks of my life. Someone had given me a book the day before last week's class called The Vagus Nerve. Somebody totally not connected with the church. I attended Thursday night and then the days of the oblate retreat. And I feel that I've talked before in here, there's no story coming out, that the story of my life was over repeated traumas over and over. And I have incorporated these practices so deeply, and I have done the reading of anything mentioned in this, I have now set alarms in my phone to do this at least once an hour. I start every sit with Dr. O'Brien's quick little 3-minute, that's my vestibule now. And I have had the most enhanced self-remembering that I've ever had because of this, because of having this knowledge. I feel like this big hole in me, the puzzle piece that's been missing throughout everything, and especially in my work, has now all come together and I'm whole again. And I wanted to share on the Lectio, but I said, no, this goes way beyond just a little reading. That reading epitomized for me, but it was, I've done every single aspect of the homework and read, chapters now in Jane DeSaltzman's book, and exquisite. And I'm a different person than I was a week ago. And thank you so much for the work and for the opportunities. And I mean, this is a huge deal for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. That's so beautiful. And it's praise God, right?
I've been doing that constantly. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that, Marcia.
Okay. It works.
Yes, I can see. Thank you. Jackie.
Well, every morning this week, I too have been practicing Christine O'Brien's parasympathetic nervous system practice. And I did this mostly before my centering prayers, but I have throughout each day just trying to catch my negative thoughts or negative reactions to things. And well, before the centering prayer, I would curl my tongue back to the back of my upper soft palate while breathing slowly in and out through my nose. I placed my hands on my heart and immediately felt completely quiet inside, a kind of quiet I've never experienced before. I generally describe my centering prayer periods as deep, since I have a feeling of being pulled down into my chair that seems to have a magnet in it. This time, though, after using the vestibule of breathing before my practice, there was complete stillness and quiet. I could not feel my body, nor did it feel as if I were floating. I was in self-remembering. So thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Jackie. It sounds like that just, it moved, those practices just moved you right into that state of self-remembering, like you said. And that's great for a head type to be able to have a quiet sit. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Lisa, I know you had your hand up, but maybe you changed your mind. Tracy.
I had tried to read the reality of being the book before and didn't get very far through it, but I did do the homework and read that description, and I did the exercise actually quite a few days on my walks, and I really could feel the second body in a new way. I mean, it's not like I've never felt it before, but it's very subtle, so it's hard to describe the experience, but it was really, really impressive, that exercise in there. I was just really taken by it. And what I enjoyed also was the way she said, what a luxury it is to be able to even have this practice and be able to be building the second body. And that positioned it for me in such a new light that it's truly a luxury. It's almost like, what an honor this is. Like, this is the vacation you want. This is the true luxury of life. And so I really enjoyed the gene dissolvement.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I had the same experience with Reality of Being. The first time I read it, it was just right over my head. And it's finally landing for me too. And isn't that interesting? A luxury, you know, when we think of luxury, it's truly backwards land. What we're doing, it's just, yeah, so wonderful. Thank you for your sharing. Thank you. There you are, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
I have an eye that thinks what I say isn't important. So I do a lot of this. but I was really moved by some of the shares, which kind of left me a little speechless for a while. And I wanted to basically contribute to that and say, there's such a longing that I have had since the work began in me to attain not perfection, but the experience more and more of God in my life, that something happened when there was like this permission given in a whole week of email about trauma for me that really helped me see like a veil that was lifted of who I was trying to be in community that was not also acknowledging the part that brought me to community, which was a lot of my trauma, but it wasn't talked about yet. So I think the huge gift for me was just the simple acknowledgement in our community of how significant the stories become as we progress in our personalities, and how well everyone acknowledged that the trauma was real, and we kept our stories because it's in our body. The issues are still in the tissues, but it was the recurrence of those stories that is the damaging aspect that I continue to carry. So, and then to have practices that we could practice throughout the week was just blew me away. There were four significant times I used the practice of the palate on top of the mouth and having the non-critical self-observation of noticing, wow, that was a really strong reaction I just had. And being able to calm myself down and say, but you know what, right here, right now, I'm totally fine. Hmm. And, oh, wow, this is really old. And then it was just gone. It wasn't like it took up my day, I had to recover from anything, which delighted me. It was just delightful. Mm-hmm. So, and for me too, it's also really helping me just to remember to connect with my body with simply putting my tongue on the top of my mouth when I sit. It really calms me down. And I knew that years ago and completely forgot. So it was just a really big leap for me in being more authentic in community and to myself and in my relationship with God, just to have it be acknowledged. And so welcomed and healed verbally in community through everyone and Christine and just everyone. So thank you all for the blessing.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. And that was really helpful for you to witness that it's important for us to use that language of trauma, even though it's not in the work language, that has to be acknowledged. You know, like you said, it's really important. I mean, that particular term is not used, let's put it that way. But it is, and we have not paid a lot of attention to the body, and that is, it's the key. It's the key to going further in the work, I think, and for healing. So, I appreciate what you shared, because there are a lot of us that are traumatized in this church. And what is it in us that feels that we can't acknowledge that, or that doesn't belong somehow? So this is good, because we know now that it does, you know, that, I mean, it always did, but it wasn't stated that way, so to speak, you know? So, and for some of us, it needs that, and it's good. And that's what is really useful. So thank you. I appreciate your saying that, because, yeah, thank you. I have been using the tongue on the soft palate a lot this week. It's an easy thing to remember. And before I started here, I was doing that for quite a while in the beginning here. And I also, in Gurdjieff music on Sunday night, I noticed a lot of nervousness happening. And so I was doing that beforehand. The only problem is, for me, once all that adrenaline starts going, the body just, it keeps going in the body, and there's no way that I can play oboe and keep my tongue in the palate of my mouth. So it was good for a little bit, and then, but the body was still doing its thing. So it just had to ride out. But after I would stop playing to be back, tongue back up there, and it's like, okay, and breathing. Yeah, it's a wonderful practice. It really is. You just feel the difference immediately. So, who else? We've got time. Kathleen, thank you.
Thanks. In the Lectio, it was so beautiful. And what I was thinking is, it was so much the way that I want to be with my family over Thanksgiving. I'm about to get together with my very large family for the first time in almost 2 years, including my children and grandchildren, some of whom I haven't physically been with in almost 2 years. And I had a conversation with one of my blood relatives this afternoon that was so puzzling to me until everyone started talking. And I realized that she was talking to me out of her trauma. I kept thinking, what am I not seeing here? It's like there's a missing piece of the puzzle. But when everyone started sharing, I just had an image of my ancestral trauma, that our DNA, you know, my blood relatives, and I'm not saying we have any more than the average family, but I hope I can keep that picture, because I just, maybe it was when Marcia was talking, I got a picture of the way that people have been let down or not supported or, you know, betrayed in some way, or, you know, not recognized and or not felt loved. And that as a group, I mean, we talk about our corporate body, and I could kind of see the corporate body of my family, mm-hmm. and think, how can I remember that in the midst of
cooking Thanksgiving dinner and everything else. And I don't know if that goes beyond what Christine was saying, but it just is my image right now that I want to hold on to.
Yes, and I hear external considering in that as well, because you're seeing that you're almost putting yourself in their place. So.
But I have a lot of ownership too with my children and my grandchildren. It's not like it all came from someplace else. I play a role as much as anybody else does.
Yes.
And hopefully a role in discontinuing rather than perpetuating.
Yes. Yes. Well, just by your being here and doing your work, you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Marky, please.
Well, I wanted to make a comment about the reading and the exercise about the Gurdjieff's exercise, how to bring about the second body more. And in that exercise, well, there's a term like the substance of I, and, you know, trying to bring that out more. And you use the words I and myself and breathing. And I guess I just felt this sort of conflict with like the idea of emptying the self, of non-identifying. I just get a little confused about how those two don't conflict, I guess.
Thank you. That is a question of mine as well. Is there anyone who out there who has really, that understands this, that feels they understand this, developing second body versus, well, what seems to be a conflict with the self-emptying or moving to no self? There's got to be an and there. I am sure there is an and. But if somebody feels that they understand that and would like to talk about it, please raise your hand. But until then, Marky, both you and I shall hold the question.
Okay.
Oh, good. I think Pamela will probably... Pamela, you and Peter, you want to respond to that? And then Bonnie will come to you in just a moment. Peter?
Go ahead, okay. Peter.
Oh, okay. Well, you ladies first, Pamela. Seriously.
There we go.
Well, I have no interest in creating second body. That's not my aim. My aim is being in the presence of God, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. So for me, it has everything to do with aim. I'm not trying to create experiences. I'm not trying to be anything. And if there are practices that bring me into greater presence, I'm all in. If there are practices that are about creating experiences, that might be interesting as an exploration, but it doesn't really fit my aim. Peter?
Well, thank you, Pamela. Yeah, that's so good. It grounds us in what our aim is and what it is that we're moving toward. And in Christianity, well, in Buddhism and Hinduism, they use the word emptiness a lot. And this notion of being empty is the kind of correlation to the second body. In Christianity, we didn't use the word emptiness so much. We used the word humility. And so humility was this, in Christianity, is the aim of taking the lowest place. In Christianity, Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, or I should say Christ, or even more precisely, the Logos, emptied itself and took on human nature. And so it left the higher level of body to join us in our humanity. So it's just really important to remember that as we think about this ascension of the body, or you might even say the diffusion of the body into more subtle energetic patterns or whatever might be occurring, truthfully, it's very, very hard to describe intellectually what second body is, but it's related to the spiritualization of the physical body. And that's the difference between the Greek words sarx and soma. And then beyond soma is the resurrection body, and beyond the resurrection body is the ascension body. Now, all that's conceptual, but here's the takeaway, the punchline. In Christianity, the higher you go, the lower you must go. That resurrection and ascension require the death of the self, that it requires the crucifixion in that theological term, requires the utmost of humiliation or humility, taking the lowest place. And just as an example of this, you know, the last time I saw Father Thomas Keating at the infirmary at the St. Benedict's Monastery, I asked him, you know, like you would ask anyone you're nervous talking to, I said, you know, how are you? And he said, you know, I feel like I'm in hell. I'm taking the lowest place with Christ. I'm in this lowest place. I seek to be the lowest of the lowest. And that was so challenging for me to hear from someone I respected so much. And I just wouldn't have expected that. So as we talk about second body and any other kind of body that might be beyond that, or any kind of possible evolution or development, it's important to remember that to the extent we are humbled, that we rise.
Thank you both. I think, Marianne, do you want to add something to that too?
It's really just a footnote. Part of this, I think, is a languaging issue as well. And the second body to me is almost like the outline that Bernadette talks about. The emptiness is really a fullness of God. And the second body is the body that is full of God.
I like that.
So that's what it is to me. And maybe that's very simplistic, but that's what it translates to me. Thank you.
Mark, did you want to make a comment too on that?
Yeah, I just want to point out, since that section in Madame de Saltzman's book was part of the homework, that he may talk about second body and so forth, but the exercise given was to feel your presence and your energy and say, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
So,
yes. Okay. Thank you.
Telling.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So, a lot to ponder in all of this. This is really good work. I was kind of feeling this week that we could have spent another week on this topic for sure. So since next year we will be doing a lot of work on the body, I'm sure we will return to it. But again, in any week when something comes up that you feel very, very drawn to, continue it. That's where your point in the work is. And it's not that you have to check off every exercise and everything that we do or that's in the email. What speaks to you is what's important. So thank you all for your sharing and for really delving into this. It's painful and fruitful work for sure. So now we're going to move on to our topic for this evening, continuing this idea of self-remembering and yet expanding it somewhat to practicing the presence of God. And that's why Pamela is going to be sharing, because she for me, embodies this practice. This is her love. the only reason she's doing this is because it's this topic. So I am thrilled that she will now share with us. So thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Beverly. And she's right, that is the only reason I agreed to talk tonight. It's not comfortable for me to really talk anymore, but this practice is my practice. It's everything. And as Marianne so eloquently said, the more empty that I am, the more there is of God. And I don't really know what God is, and I don't really know what I am anymore, but there's something happening. And I really feel like this topic is the culmination of so much of what we have learned and talked about. I'll be referring back to some things. I don't have any slides. You all know everything I'm going to say. You all have everything that you need. And you are everything. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And maybe right now you could just relax into that and feel that presence. Because it's right here. And it's especially strong in this field of the school. I just listened to a David Hawkins video, and he said, your existence is God's presence. My existence is God's presence. And I love that Marianne brought up Abbot Joseph. I loved him. I knew him. He came to me in a dream last week. And all it was just this energy of unconditional love. And he would love this presentation because he said that he didn't read books anymore unless there were pictures. That's all he needed. And so I hope it's as simple as that tonight. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Peter talked about theoria. That was our topic of the evening. And he used the word abiding. And it's such a beautiful description of practicing the presence, of abiding in the presence. And one of the things I shared that night, and I'll share it again, is that there was a tipping point for me in the work where, as observing eye became permanent, that the center of gravity of my work, for lack of a better term, became self-remembering. It just naturally shifted to self-remembering. There wasn't an interest in the story, although the stories still come. There wasn't an interest in explaining what was coming up. The whole attraction, as if I am magnetized, is to self-remembering. And I don't know how that is, but it just, I guess there was some change in the inner accumulator. I don't know. And it becomes a kind of devotion in itself. And it's so portable. It's so portable and so simple. and so ordinary. So yes, a bowl of chili, a half a glass of wine, pixels on a screen, it's all there. And it's all so beautiful and clear. Thomas Keating says that silence morphs into presence. And I know all of you have had that experience. And that silence moves off the cushion into kind of an inner stillness. And that inner stillness is presence. And the deeper the inner stillness becomes, the more the presence just expands, deepens, becomes thicker. So God is real, and I know that. And that's the basis of my life. I've staked my life on the fact that God is real. Not a concept, not a person, not a being, but becoming more and more diffuse. More and more like air. But where is my attention at any given time? Attention is key. And I love the line. It's the very last line in the Madame de Salzman quote that's been shared in the last two email. She says, "My presence is where my attention is. And where my presence is where God is. My presence is where my attention is. And my addition is. And where my presence is where God is." And I was telling Beverly this as she and I were conversing before this class, which was just such a beautiful experience to be with Beverly and to just share about these things. I said to her that it's that the presence, it's hard to distinguish where it begins, where I end, where it begins. It's not two. And Bernadette talks a little bit about this. I've been reading her book, The Path to No Self, and she says, when we reflect on ourself or look inward, we always encounter God. In the unitive stage, we have the union of subject and object. The I and thou are not separate identities. And of course, Thomas Keating and so many others have said, it's just really the thought that we are separate from God that is in the way. So once we get rid of that thought, it gets clearer, or that experience or that relationship or that I-thou experience is right there. And Needleman talks about the importance of attention. He calls it gathered attention. Directed attention is the power of the soul. And so it's that deep, that connection becomes that deep. But my work is where my attention is. That's my work. And after a while, so there's some effort in bringing attention back when it's distracted. But after a while, the attraction is so great. The desire, the devotion, the love, just the sense of that presence. So in other words, the effort becomes more about that abiding that Peter talked about. Less effort, more abiding, more just gentle returning, resting. So when our attention is tuned, it's just so obvious, that presence. When Brian Graham spoke to us, he emphasized that this is a relational universe, that we're in undivided wholeness and that consciousness is relational. And that's true. You can feel it. The more that the tuning is there, the more that becomes so real, how relational everything is, how it talks back to us. It tells us things. It communicates. David Hawkins says that when we reverence the trees reverence us back. And I'm telling you, that is my daily experience because I love trees. And they speak to me. They teach me. And of course, it's more than the trees. It's the being of God in the trees. And it's real. And I can feel that love presence. Brian also talked about that love is the relational force of the universe, the fundamental force of the universe. And that's what the presence is. And it wants to be in relationship with us. It's waiting to be in relationship. And it is everything. The trees, the birds. Time to cook dinner. Time to clean up dinner. Ordinary life. There's been some critical errors I've made in the work over the years. And one of them I made recently. My work partner has been our housemate for several months, which has been a great privilege. And I thought, what a great opportunity being in such close quarters to ask her if she saw anything in me that was unconscious, that was some repetitive behavior that she might help me see that I hadn't seen. And I'd like to read to you the response that she gave me, which is really extraordinary. It's some of the best wisdom that I've received, and it's beautiful. So she says, in answer to your question, if I see any blind spots in you, any ways you act unconsciously, repetitively, I would ask, is this question a blind spot? A reluctance to face the truth, to stay comfortable in believing there is some more purification or behavior modification needed for liberation, or Christification, or existing as no self. Where in you is already the being of Christ, the place that is already the living liberation, that is already as awake as any famous saint or mystic, or name your favorite teacher, genius being. If it doesn't seem like an answer shows itself, keep asking. It is already alive in you. It is innate in every being. Keep turning towards that question as an invitation until you feel like you might have an answer, even if it is a hint of an answer. it can feel more like not knowing than any kind of answer, or like the tiniest bug alighting on your skin. And sometimes it can also arrive with such power, it feels like it will flatten you. However it lands, just keep being curious about it. Devote yourself solely to knowing it better. Not as a way to fix anything or get anything, but in the way you would want to get to know the cutest, sweetest, most fascinating being you can think of. Maybe like a baby human or animal. The intricacies of leaves or fat caterpillars turning into delicate butterflies. Notice how this invitation and its response feels in your body, how it manifests in your presence and action. What arises will continue to grow and transform as your listening and feeling becomes more finely tuned. No matter how complete of an answer you feel you get eventually, or if the answer seems like it is arrived to obliterate you or leave you completely unable to live life as usual, rest in this. Keep inviting what answers to show you more, to show itself when you are tired, angry, ill, heading in the direction of getting into someone else's business, celebrating everything. Keep turning towards this for the rest of your life. What if the rest of your life is only 5 minutes more? No more time for purification or thinking. Just completely letting go into God that's here now. That's a work partner. So it was the ego parading around as a work student, looking to see what else could be done. And instead, a much greater wisdom was given. So there's nothing special here. But it is everything. Does anyone have any comments? Questions, experiences? Alan.
I liked what you said about the ego parading around as a work student. A while back, it occurred to me that with regard to non-attachment, one could become attached to the practice of being a person who non-attaches. So the key is one has to be non-attached to non-attachment. It gets really ethereal in there.
Thank you. Steve.
Well, Kathy and Lily always compliment me on how well I keep my halo shined. And so I know what you're talking about, but you know, just laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. Silly me, silly me. You know, and it's okay, and I'm not going to change that. You know, the outer shell, it's just knowing it's knowing that's how you operate. Mm-hmm. And so every call it on it, but don't beat yourself up that you did that. That's spiritual pride kind of infuses all of us. And
yeah.
Okay. Dork.
Right. And every being a dork becomes a portal into the present, just as anything mm-hmm. else does.
Yeah.
Nothing is lost. Thank you, Steve. Bonnie.
Thank you, Pamela. You inspire me. I wondered, it's more of a question and an experience. Is it like feeling lost and as a part of a situation, like being totally absorbed in the woods around you? You don't feel that you're there, but you're part of there. It's within you, and it's a total not feeling of yourself. It's just being a part of it. And I've felt that I just lose myself in the experience of being. And I'm wondering if that's kind of part of this as well. I'm feeling that, and I feel that in certain situations when I get totally, it's more than external considering. I'm just really becoming like a part mm-hmm. of the other person mm-hmm. to feel what it is that they are, and I'm just kind of absorbed in that.
Mm, that's beautiful. Actually, I was just reading a paragraph in Bernadette's book where it's really before she has crossed over to the no self. And she talks about being able to enter the center of others, center to center, and even inanimate objects. But she's coming from the center. And actually, to even use a pronoun there isn't appropriate, but there is a center to center communion and a knowing.
So peaceful.
Thank you. Because of our 9-minute musical meditation, we're going to stop now. And the homework is in the email. There's several practices in the email that you're invited to try and to experiment with. And enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you. Let us join together and pray aloud and affirm the prayer of God's presence and love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.